The reading today is taken from John 14, verses 15 to 18, and also from John 16, verses 5 to 15. The first part of the reading starts in the Pew Bible on page 1082. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he lives with you and will be with you, be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. The second part of the reading from John 16 starts at verse 5. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Amen.
Thank you, Gwen. Shall we pray together before we think about these passages? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will send your Spirit to minister to us, to speak to us. Even as we think about these words in this beautiful passage of Scripture, Lord, that you will illuminate it, shine upon it. Let us see things maybe we've never seen before or hear things we've never heard before. But Lord, would you stimulate us? Make us open to what you have to say today, we pray. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you've been working through this kind of series of this, I believe, the things that we say we believe. And we've been looking at the Godhead recently. We were looking a few weeks ago at, we're looking at the Trinity to begin with, how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit engage with one another. And we picked up that picture that C.S. Lewis uses about the great dance of God, where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit orbit each other. They're not self-centered, they are other-centered. They find all their delight, everything in the other, not in themselves. So this is how the Godhead kind of works together. We can't fully understand that. We're not made to understand it. We're not meant to understand that. But we know that there's a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that's very clear from Scripture, and just how they engage, how they work together. And the picture of the Trinity is how God wants us to work as well as a church, and indeed how he wants the universe to work in a perfect harmony, working together. So we thought about that, then we thought about God the Father, and then the last couple of weeks we thought about God the Son. We thought about last week, or 2 weeks ago, of Jesus being Lord and what that meant. So today we're thinking about the Spirit. We'll think about the Spirit again next week and maybe the week after, who knows? Because this is a huge topic. But today I don't want us to think about the Spirit as in a technical sense, you know, who the Spirit is and what he does, what the Bible says he is and what he does. We don't think about that. I want us to think about how we engage with the Spirit, what our experience of the Spirit is, how we know there's a Spirit, how we know that the Spirit is with us, and what difference that makes, if anything. So I want us just to think about the Spirit in a personal way and to reflect on that and see what God is saying to us through these passages. John 14 was the first reading that we had. It's a reading that we're probably really familiar with, and I've used a lot at funerals. Because Jesus has told his friends, his disciples, that he is going to die. That was his mission. He came to die on a cross and to be raised again to life. This was his mission. But he tells them this is going to happen. These people have been with him for 3.5 years. They've spent all this time with him. They've done amazing things. They've seen him do miracles. They have eaten with him and laughed with him and cried with him. And just their whole lives have orbited around Jesus. And now he says he's going. He drops his bombshell. I am leaving. And we know what it's like when we leave or lose someone that we really love. It's very painful. Because it's great when we enjoy being together. To lose someone you love is very hard. And Jesus is saying, I'm going. And that's hard for them to hear. So here in John 14, he tries to comfort them. He tries to put it all into context. Even though he's going, there is a context. And he gives them 3 encouragements. Do not let your hearts be troubled, he says. You believe in God, believe also in me. Trust me. And the first kind of encouragement is this. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? He's saying, I'm going. And he tells him where he's going. He tells him what it's like. And he says he's going to get somewhere ready and he's going to come back and bring them to be with him. That's an encouragement, isn't it? I'm going. But someday you will be with me. And then he goes on and says, you know where I'm going? And Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus says, well, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You're going to come to the Father, but it's going to be through me. And then Philip says those words, Father, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. And Jesus says to him, Philip, you've spent all this time with me, and you still don't know me. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one. And then this kind of second encouragement where he says to them in verse 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. He doesn't tease out how that's going to happen, but somehow because he's going to the Father, they're going to continue these great works. So he's going to take them to be with him someday, but in the meantime, he's got stuff for them to do, and they're going to do it. In fact, they're going to do greater things than him. It's an amazing thing to say, isn't it? You will do greater things than me because I'm going to the Father. That's an encouragement, isn't it? And then in verse 13, another encouragement. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. So he said, I'm going, but I'm going to this place that someday you'll be with me in. I'm going, but in the meantime you'll do greater things than me. And I'm going, and I'm going to be with God the Father, and anything you ask me in my name, I will do it. But the ultimate encouragement comes in verse 16 to 18, where Jesus says he will send another counselor. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to help you and to be with you forever. They had no idea what he was talking about. They hadn't read the book. They hadn't gone to Bible college. But he said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to help you and to be with you forever. This was going to be another counselor. Jesus had come as the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. But he was going to send another counselor, just like him, who would be with them forever. It's the word paraclete. That's the word that is there. And we use that kind of idea of para in the same sense, because there's going to be a paraclete. There's got to be someone who comes alongside. So we have things like, well, we have CSSM during the year, CSSM. They're a para-church organization or a scripture union. They're not the church, but they work alongside the church to help the church. Or, in the good old days, we used to have paramilitary organizations. Wow. They weren't the real thing, but they were similar. You know, they were alongside, pretending to be, looking like. Or you have paratroopers who parachute in to help, coming alongside, drawing alongside. It's like a coach. Like a coach. Did you watch the rugby yesterday? It's great. Or a coach on a football team. They're not the one on the field to play, but they're the one directing it. They're the one making the substitutions. They're the one that's making the tactics and telling them exactly what to be and to do. And so that's what this other counselor is going to be like. It's going to be like a coach who comes alongside. But it's going to be even better than that, because this counselor isn't just alongside or at a distance. Verse 17 says the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. To the world, the Holy Spirit is crazy. But for you, he says to them, you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. He lives with you and will be in you. So this isn't just a coach from the sidelines. This is a coach in your very body. Paul later on tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So this isn't like Jesus walking alongside of them. This is going to be like Jesus inside of them. Is that what he meant when he said, this is a good thing? The first disciples didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, as we said. But those disciples, when they received the Spirit, were changed, empowered. Everything about them was different. Even though they hadn't done a theological course, even they didn't really know what Jesus was talking about, but when the Spirit came, they knew. And that early church exploded on the world. There's no other word for it. If you read the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts, which we call the Acts of the Apostles, could just as easily be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because this is the work of the Holy Spirit exploding on the world. And these disciples transformed. Their lives were changed, turned upside down. Everything was different. Even someone like Peter, scaredy cat Peter, a little girl came along to him before Jesus died and said, aren't you one of his friends? And he said, no, not me. What a chicken. But when the Spirit came, wow, he was transformed. He preached, and 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus. Transformed. The disciples might not have known much about the Spirit, but they were completely transformed by the Spirit, because the Spirit had come within them and changed them. And even when times were tough, and even when the church was persecuted, and even under pain of death, they were prepared to die. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. On their own, they weren't courageous. On their own, they were frightened. But with the Spirit, they were bold. To die was gain, not sacrifice. It's better to die. Know what Paul said? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He really wanted to be with Jesus. But in the meantime, he would do the work of Jesus. And that's what these disciples were doing. They were transformed by the Holy Spirit. Now, in a sense, we know much more about the Holy Spirit than they did. But what is our experience of him in our lives? Has your world been turned upside down? Do you know that he's within? For if you are a Christian in this building today, God is inside you, your body. Not at a distance, not up in heaven, but he's within. Not just very close, not just very near, but inside you. for always. What difference does that make? Because we can know lots about him and yet fail to experience his power in our lives. And that's really sad, isn't it? Do you want to experience him more? The answer has to be yes, doesn't it? And I suppose, in a sense, our Freedom in Christ course that starts on Thursday is part of that journey. Because that course is going to show us who we truly are in Christ. And the goal is to set us free, to make us new. We'll be looking at different things. But it'll be truths from the Bible to show us who we truly are and what God has done in our lives and what God wants to do in our lives. That's why it's, I would love all of us to do that course on Thursday. But Jesus, well, Jesus doesn't want us to be enslaved by fear. So much of our lives is ruled by fear, isn't it? That's why every time an angel came or God spoke, he just kept saying, don't be frightened, don't be frightened, don't be frightened. Don't be frightened about tomorrow, don't be frightened of what you'll eat or drink or what you'll wear. Just don't be frightened. We live in fear, but Jesus wants us to be free. Verse 23. Listen to these amazing words. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Isn't that amazing? The Father and the Son will come and make their home with us. Doesn't seem true, but the Bible says that. How can that be? Because I know what I'm like, you know what you're like. How can God come and make his home with us? It's a bit like that in Revelation 3 and 20, isn't it, where Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, and if anybody opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, hang out with them, make my home with them. That's what God wants to do in our messy lives. He wants to come and stay forever. If you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, God has made you his home. Isn't that an amazing truth? If you're a follower of Jesus, God has made you his home. He feels at home with you. That's where he wants to be. That's why we're made. Verse 24, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Jesus wasn't just speaking on his own behalf. He was speaking for the Father because these were the Father's words. These are the Father's words to us. Verse 25, all of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said. Can you remember that memory verse? Well done, Karen. That's what he said the Spirit will do. Said those disciples, when the Spirit comes, he'll remind you about the things you need to know. He'll talk about me. And then verse 27, peace I leave with you. For that's what Jesus wanted them to have and wants us to have. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, he says again. Do not be afraid. So that's the Holy Spirit's job. Sometimes we think, for little Jeremiah, stressed out, you want me to be a prophet? Me. And God said, yes, you. And I'll be with you. And it'll be okay. And that's what he says to us as well. Don't get stressed. My peace I give to you. Don't be frightened. Don't be troubled. It'll be okay. Just trust me. The Holy Spirit would equip those disciples to do whatever God wanted them to do. And if he asks us to do something, whether it's something small or something ginormous, something doable or something scary, he will equip us to do what he wants us to do because it's not about us. It's about him. And yet for the disciples, letting go was very hard. John 16, verse 7. These amazing words. Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. It's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It is for your good that I am going away. He's not just telling them the benefits of him going, but he's saying, this is for your benefit. This is for your good. Because unless I go away, the counselor will not come. But if I go, I will send him. He will be with you, inside you, always. You don't need to worry. You don't need to fret. You just need to trust. So if you're a Christian today, the Holy Spirit is within you. Our faith is a supernatural faith. It's not just a nice thing to do. We don't just play at church, sing nice songs, and meet our friends. It is supernatural. It doesn't make sense to the world. But we believe in miracles, don't we? Because that's what the Bible said Jesus did. We believe he died and rose from the dead because that's what the Bible said he did. We believe in the supernatural and we, as part of that kingdom, live a supernatural faith. And we can't do it. But with God inside us, we can. He can do anything through you as he works within you. We can play church if we want to, and we can do a really good job. We can run a kids club or do a Sunday school or play nice music or whatever it might be. We can play, keep the place looking okay, and we can be a nice bunch of people in a welcoming community. Yeah, we can do that because we're good people and nice people and welcoming people. Do you remember that verse that I keep quoting, John 15, verse 5, where Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's kind of stark. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you want to see the church grow? Do you want to see the kingdom come? Well, that's a God thing, not a us thing. Only he can do that. And it's only as we trust him to do that and give our lives to him that we can do that. And as we use the gifts that he gives us, we're going to be thinking about that maybe next week, the gifts of the Spirit. As we use the gifts that he's given us, they're not for our benefit, they're for the common good. So when we fail to be the people that God wants us to be, we're not just denying ourselves, we're denying the community. So how do our lives differ from an unbeliever? Are we any different from people who do not have God inside them? Do we have the same ambition or purpose? Do we worry about the same things? Do we have the same values? Is there any difference between us and people who have no faith? And if there seems to be very little difference, doesn't something tell us that that's not right? That shouldn't be, should it? There should be something different about our lives, not just in a little way, but in a major way. A turning your life upside down kind of a way, if God is inside us. Does that frighten you? Yeah, because we like our lives as they are, don't we? We've got a nice, comfortable lifestyle living in Greystones. Life's good. We've got our church. We've got our lives. But maybe God wants to shake you up in ways that you can't even imagine. It's kind of scary. Even as I said, it frightens me. Because we don't want to be shaken up. We want to have control. But the Holy Spirit wants to have control. So who is in control of our lives? Us or him? Spirit-filled people in the Bible look different, act different, everything's different. In John 14, Jesus says he's going, but things are going to get better. And But just very finally, I just want to mention Acts chapter 1, because again, the disciples were scared. They didn't know what was going on. But Jesus gave them this command. He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. Don't go anywhere. Just wait until the Spirit comes. And they waited. And they probably didn't even know what they were waiting for. Kind of looking at each other, praying, frightened. Looking at each other, praying, frightened. Until one day, a hurricane blew through that house. Fire came. And they were changed. And the church began. And that's what we're here today. So all I really want us to do is to reflect on our own lives. How do we experience the Spirit? Do we want Him to have more of us? Do we want our lives to be different and Spirit-filled and powerful? For us to be able to tell our stories and witness for Him? To be able to use the gifts that He's given us and see them fruitful and growing? I'm not talking about kind of weird spirit stuff that sometimes you hear. I'm talking about living every day, knowing that God is with you. What does that look like? Well, let's just be still for a moment and think about what that looks like. And you ask the Lord, can your life be different? Should your life be different? Are we really aware that God is with us and in us? And for us, and wants to work through us. And then just after a moment's quietness, we're going to remain seated and sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me.